Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the quarterbacks. Last night, the quarterbacks were on the stage. Weird event. I mean, again, John, sum it up for those just tuning in, because I know a lot of people didn't say it. Just, I thought it was flat and stale and odd.
Well, it was 2 hours set aside for the Eagles and then the Chiefs, and the Eagles went first, and it just felt like, I don't know, we were subdued. We were very, buckled up. And Nick sort of set the example. He was, you know, we know the way he is. He keeps it close to the vest. Yeah. He's not going to give anything for anyone to take advantage of other side.
And I'm not asking him to. I thought the biggest problem was the
players were not giving answers that had interesting information in them.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But here's my biggest problem with the event from an NFL standpoint. It was in an empty stadium.
No juice.
No juice. Like, if you have, look, you could have a small venue. You could have it at, like, the Palestra, so to speak. You could have a venue where there's 3,000 people, 5,000 people, which people, by the way, would come for that. And then if a player starts talking and say something, then the crowd, start cheering. Like, and then the player might give you a little more because they're getting amped up by the crowd. There was none of that. It felt to me like a COVID. There's nobody in the stands. There were a few people, not many. You'll hear it here with Mahomes, especially when Mahomes is introduced. Let's get to it. Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, they talked last night. By the way, it's 94 WIP, HD1, Philadelphia, as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. Here are the quarterbacks when featured last night. First Hurts, then Mahomes, standing right next to each other.
Jalen, to you first. The Birds fans are here in the house, and they want to see this thing coming down Broad Street. How ready are you guys for Super Sunday?
We've just been taking it a day at a time. As everyone else has said, it's just a great opportunity. Put a lot of work in, had these moments, and it's something you want to take advantage of.
I heard you said, I believe it was last week, you did an interview where you were quoted as saying, you knew from training camp that this was or could be a Super Bowl team. Why?
I think that's the mentality every year. Just when it all begins, you know, that's what you work for, to have these opportunities, and it's paid off to have what we have in front of us.
And I know you like this guy's game here next to you. I turn to Patrick Mahomes. The headline of this Super Bowl, can the Kansas City Chiefs go for an unprecedented three-peat? How are you guys able to put away all distractions and climb the mountain this many years in a row?
Yeah, I think it starts with Coach Reed. The way, the culture that he's built, we know it's a day-by-day process. And it's awesome to be in the Super Bowl, but we have to go put in the work every single day first. And I'm glad we're here, but it's going to be a great game. I'm excited for it.
There seemed to be a genuine moment of respect between you and the Eagles and you and your quarterback opposition here. Why is that?
I mean, I've seen him do it on the biggest stage. A guy that goes out there and puts it all on the line for his team. I think in both our football teams, it's great culture, it's great teams, a lot of great players that all want to win.
Ready to go?
I'm always ready.
Can't wait to see you guys take the field here on Sunday.
All right, Mahomes and Jalen. Put another way, I turn to Patrick Mahomes. And then like 12 people clap. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
really sad.
It was just an empty stadium.
I wonder if COVID changed at the way it was conducted, and then it just never changed back.
I don't know. I mean, I don't remember 22, but I remember 17 was at a fairly small venue.
Well, I know
with fans on both teams, and I thought it was really cool.
When I did it, it was not as desolate as that.
Well, they didn't have it. Remember, they had it with you in the afternoon, and it wasn't sort of this NFL Network orchestrated thing, which I think has become a cool feature. But, I mean, have some fans there so people can have some energy. Yeah. I thought the whole thing was weird. All right, let's listen to Roger Goodell. He had his annual press conference yesterday leading up to the Super Bowl. One of the many things he talked about were the referees. I don't know any Eagles fan that is not concerned about the refs leaning Mahomes' way. I think some people misconstrue it when they say that the NFL has it rigged. I don't think it's rigged. But I do think great players get calls more often.
Unconscious bias.
Yes, I think that's a fair way to put it. I agree with you. Goodell addressed it yesterday and tried to squash it. I don't totally buy it.
It's a ridiculous theory for anyone who might take it seriously. But at the end of the day, you know, it's something we always have to continue to work on. How do we make our officiating better?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's rigged.
It's ridiculous, but it could be true. Ridiculous. Like, what was that? Like, I hate that answer.
I don't like it at all.
It's awful.
And he gave a more detailed answer, but it was too long to play the whole thing.
Kelsey tried to squash it, too.
Say again?
Travis Kelsey tried to squash the whole thing, too.
Of course he did. Of course he did, because it favors his team.
You can't dismiss it.
And I'm not saying... Look, here's what's ridiculous, okay? That the commissioner calls the head of the refs and says, hey, call the guy working that Eagles-Chiefs game and make sure he favors the Chiefs. Does that happen? No. Do I believe the referee in the moment has a lean toward Patrick Mahomes, similar, perhaps even more, though, than refs had a lean toward Michael Jordan, refs had a lean toward Larry Bird? I saw it with my own eyes. I've seen it with star players. Some guys get it. Some guys don't, by the way.
And we have a rule in the game called the Tom Brady rule now that was put in to prevent defensive players from hitting quarterbacks below the knees.
Well, that got Randall also.
When they're in the pocket.
Yeah.
Right, but they put in a rule when Adam Brady in the first game of the season. They're like, oh, can't have this anymore.
They didn't make a rule about it.
Well, they changed the rule.
They changed the playbook like they did for Tom Brady.
But they changed the rule on the horse collar after T.O. got brought down. So we can't have it, you know, only.
Well, that's because he's a star player. That's the point.
Okay, that's fair.
The human factor is something you can never rule out. I noticed it even when I played. Certain pitchers, I'd catch, and you would get certain pitches, and then another guy would come in, and you get even more pitches. Yeah. It's just the way human nature is. It's just the way it is.
Well, I agree with you, Ben. Look, here's the one thing, and I said this last week. I'll reiterate it again right now. I believe all this chatter could benefit the Eagles in 5 days.
100%.
You
Joe,
do believe that, right?
1,000%.
I think the ref will be less inclined to throw that flag because he knows it's become a thing and it may swing to the Eagles' favor.
I absolutely think it's a thing. I think it will. So
that's great.
And this official, because you know I'm obsessed, Tobert, I think his name is, he lets them play more physical. Like his crews, now he's got a different crew because it's an all-star crew that they use in the Super Bowl. But during the season, his crew threw a lot of flags. They were flag heavy. When he refs in the playoffs, he lets them play physical.
Okay.
So.
And that's Jalen Carter. It's also Chris Jones, by the way. All right. So there's a lot about the game to break down. One of the fascinating elements, obviously, is Sirianni versus Andy Reid again. They have met each other a couple times across the sideline as coaches. Sirianni got him last year. Andy obviously got him in the one that really mattered, 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. You may remember Andy Reid famously, well, it wasn't famous at the time, but it became famous since then, fired Nick Sirianni. When Andy got the job in KC, he showed Nick the door as a young assistant as Andy took over, you know, over 10 years ago now in Kansas City. We talked to Nick Sirianni last week about his relationship with Andy Reid. Let's hear that exchange. I'm just curious, how often do you and Andy cross paths, interact? Is it literally just when it's my team versus your team, or are there other times during a year where you guys have some kind of communication?
You know, again, I didn't ever coach for Andy, so you know, maybe I hear, I've gotten a text message from here and there after a win. I've given him a text message here and there after a win, but you know, I didn't coach for him. He didn't, you know, we don't have that history. I know he was here. And so, you know, you don't tend to share information or anything like that with guys that, you know, you don't know as well. So, I have my other mentors that I reach out to. And, but man, looking at watching Coach Reid, and, you know, I got a lot of respect for everything that he's done. Obviously he's one of the best, you know, I would say him and Bill Belichick, best, you know, coaches of all time, ever, as I look at it, as I study it. So, a lot of respect there. You know, I'd love to be able to talk to him about stuff, but, you know, this is the second time we're competing for a world championship. I don't know if either of us are willing to give any information to each other, or, you know, I don't know if I have any information to give him, but I know I'd get a lot from him. So, no, I just can't tell you how much respect I have for him and just the, you know, his the way he leads a football team, you know, his offensive mind, and just total respect of everything that he's done in his career.
All right, that's Nick Sirianni with us last week. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up an awful lot. What Sirianni and Andy said standing right next to each other last night as the event was going on. Plus, Jalen Hurts with a funny comment last night.
I was surprised at how small Andy was compared to Nick. Nick looked
Nick's tall,
large.
Man. Nick's taller than you think. He's
I did not think
Andy
has shrunk.
Really?
And Nick must be like 6'4".
Nick's 6'3", or 6'2", or something like that, I think. Elliot's always told me he's like, Nick's way bigger than you think.
Oh, my gosh. He's so much bigger than I thought.
Didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. He's a Ben Davis then. I mean, Ben's a... Ben, you are a granite.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. That is really weird.
You're welcome.
You going to start asking him if he modeled or anything?
I'll just say this. They didn't change the rule, and catchers couldn't be run into in baseball when Ben Davis played, because they weren't worried about catchers when Ben Davis played.
No, they were not.
They were worried about the guys running into him, you know what
That's
I'm saying?
That's right.